Welcome to In the Money, sponsored by Flyer Financial Technologies, the company that builds cutting-edge technology designed to solve asset and wealth management firms' toughest trading workflows. In this podcast, we help advisors and asset managers understand how technology is transforming the wealth tech sector. We'll cover how to leverage technology for faster, smarter investment decisions, megatrends, and more. Now, on to the show.
Welcome to Into the Money. I'm your host, Rusty Summer, and I'm fortunate enough to be joined today by my very good friend, Chuck Fala of Sovereign Financial. If you don't know Flyer FT, we power the fintech you love and use every day. In this episode, we're going to talk about future-proofing advisor technology and serving clients without constraints. So let's jump in. And Chuck, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, Rusty, thank you for having me. I've been really looking forward to this.
Ah, fantastic. So I guess real quick, let me give you a brief introduction. I think that'll be great for the people who are listening. Chuck started his career in the 90s as a cold calling cowboy selling individual stocks in New York City. He then evolved his business to financial planning and fee-based asset management. Today, he runs one of the fastest growing RIAs in the country. He's a particularly passionate advocate for the RIA space. And to that end, he partnered with Investment News on a new media outlet 100% dedicated to the RIA space. And it's appropriately named Go RIA, fueled by Investment News. So I think with that, you know, pretty good introduction and what a great background. I think, you know, you probably are the epitome of success for a lot of your RIA counterparts and people who are really trying to grow. So I thought we would start today talking a little bit about industry headwinds. I think people like to talk about the tailwinds and what's propelling us. But I think that on the opposite side of that, we do see a lot in particularly in the asset management world where client assets are flowing to larger firms. And so for smaller firms, I think that can be pretty challenging. The same is happening to a degree within the wealth management and RIA space. We see, you know, in the results that come out on a quarterly basis that a lot of the larger RIAs are sucking up, you know, a lot of the assets while smaller ones may be struggling a little bit. So, you know, you have a number of different parts of Sovereign. You have your own RIA. You've got a plug and play RIA for breakaways and advisors who are interested in coming onto a corporate RIA. And I believe you're also launching something new in the not so distant future. So maybe just give us a background on Sovereign. You know, how have you grown? What's your story been?
Sure. And I appreciate that introduction. You throw in a wife, a couple of kids, and a handful of animals, and that's my full story for the past 30 years. So no, I do appreciate that. Yeah. So at Sovereign, essentially what we have done, and I should probably frame this by saying I've never had a real job in my entire life. And that's just a fact, right? I've either reported to the owner of a small company, or I was the owner of a small company. So I never had that big corporate experience. I don't think I would like that big corporate experience, just me personally. So pivoting that to Sovereign, what we've done here is we've built a firm, as they say, by advisors for advisors. And all I've done is scaled up how I like to run my business to a point where other advisors that like the way I run my business can plug in and run it in a very similar way with good efficiencies and economic costs. And that's essentially what we've done. And your point earlier, as far as the size of some of these firms and, you know, the RIAs in particular, you know, the RIA space kind of has this vibe of, you know, bootstrap and, you know, small and entrepreneurial. And that's definitely the case. But there are definitely some very, very large players out there, and we all know who they are. And this is not a bad thing. It just is what it is. But boy, they're really starting to look like wirehouses. And that's just something I don't want for me personally. So to that end, we've made a public statement that we're going to cap the number of advisors at Sovereign, at least, to 40, because we want to always maintain that vibe, that culture, where every advisor, every staff member literally has my cell phone number, and we can keep those lines of communication open. And I think once you get much larger than 40, you start putting in the middle managers and the middle managers, and that's just not a culture that is appealing to me, at least. So that's kind of how we're dealing with that. So we are fiercely committed to staying manageable, and we're defining that somewhat arbitrarily at 40 advisors.
Gotcha. Well, I think that's probably interesting to a ton of people who are in that space. And I think that, you know, in particular, as those larger organizations grow and scale, they have immense numbers of resources to think about what they want to do and what their technology wants to look like and how they should build out their operations. For those who aren't in that bucket, right, there really it needs to be a sense of probably doing more with less. And so I think that it's often very challenging for firms to prioritize and find, you know, maybe a best path forward. And often it's really easy to get distracted or maybe be able to see the forest for the trees, right? You're blocking and tackling and you're working really hard with your day to day. So as a practitioner, what's your approach to staying focused on your ultimate goal while doing more with less?
Yeah. So that is an issue really for me in particular, because I love new things, right? Mm-hmm. And I tend to be an early adopter and I love ideas and I love things that make processes more efficient. So, which is good. The downside that comes with that, you know, is if you will, the shiny new toy syndrome, as I like mm-hmm. to call it. And I think a lot of people call it like, ooh, there's a cool idea. Or, oh, hey, that's kind of neat. So I think it's important to really focus regularly on what is the mission that you're trying to accomplish, and then bring on the right tools for that as best you can. And I can certainly share some horror stories. You know, we first tooled up to grow to 40 advisors about 3 years ago, and we had the absolute wrong tech stack and had to retool that whole thing. And that was a massive time and money sink. We have it right now. But that's, I think, one of the issues out there, right? It's the good news, bad news. There are so many solutions out there. There are so many resources that can help an RIA get up and running and build his or her own firm as they want. But that's also the bad news, because you really have to sift through a lot. And it's awfully hard to get it right the first time, I think. And I know we certainly did not. I think we have it right now, but the first go around was pretty, mm-hmm. pretty ugly. So that's kind of how we dealt with that, right? So prioritize on what you're trying to do. And I'm a big believer in writing things down. If you write it down, it forces you to be precise. What are you trying to do? What are you trying to deliver? What market are you trying to serve? We're fairly dialed in on the mass affluent market. So everything that we build is designed to be very customizable, but doable at scale. And that's sort of the path we landed on.
Yeah, I think at the mass affluent level, that's really critical and important, because we know that just from a standpoint, if you only have so many hours in a day, you kind of run out of time unless you've really got things dialed in. Mm. And as a reformed consultant, I really appreciate, you know, your comment about, you know, understanding what you're trying to do as an organization before you pick your technology. In my time, you know, one of my first questions was, tell me what you're trying to accomplish. What have you promised to deliver to your clients, and what's your investment thesis? And let me understand that, and then I'll back into what the technology should be. And I think you'll be better off doing it that way. So I know mm-hmm. that as I work with clients today, that's generally my, you know, my process. So I appreciate that. So let's move maybe a little bit to a single source of truth and think about data and, you know, where that can lie. But I think there's a ton of truth in saying that, you know, there's garbage in and garbage out. So you've got to make sure that your data is clean, and ultimately really good data is incredibly valuable, not only to your clients and to your workflow, but to the value of your organization. And I think that often firms don't have sufficient infrastructure or expertise in place to really manage that asset. But mm-hmm. when they do, there's a genuine opportunity to really scale up your business. So for example, at Flyer, one of the things that we do is we normalize multi-source data, and we provide clients access to a real-time data store that can then be plugged into anything, a CRM or a financial planning tool, and being able to embed that information or workflows and control that client and customer and advisor experience through a single portal is so valuable. And so, you know, when the client calls, you pick up the phone and it's like, oh, well, I only have to go to one place to answer questions or to understand who I'm talking to, instead of, well, let me look at my CRM and see what the last time I talked to them. Oh, let me pull up my portfolio management tool. Let me see what the portfolio looks like today. Let me pull up the financial planning tool. Let me see what, you know, how they're tracking against their goals possibly, right? Instead of maybe having everything piped into your CRM or your financial planning tool, you know, there's a ton of value there. How do you guys approach that?
Yeah, we're actually going through that right now. So we have landed on using our CRM as our one source of truth. And so everything will funnel into that ultimately. And easier said than done, right? So we have that about 70% set right now, I would say. Mm-hmm. And that last 30%, which I think is critical for us, and I think is going to be it's going to very much drive efficiencies for us, is to pour our trading tools into the CRM as well. So this touches upon too our very specific process that we use to meld mm-hmm. financial planning with asset management. And that requires a lot of data points from a few different sources, right? Our account management system, our trading systems, our planning systems to all come in. And that boils down to APIs. And connecting those APIs not as easy as some people might think, or maybe people assume it's hard, and they would be very correct. But getting all those data points into that one source of truth is kind of step one. And what we're also realizing is having really good audits in place, because what you're doing is really getting data from multiple sources into one source. Super helpful. But just by the definition of doing that, the nature of doing that, when you're bringing in so many different sources of information, or information from so many different sources, I should say, you have to have some audits in place to make sure that data is reliable. So when that advisor goes into that CRM, they need to feel rock solid sure that the data they're looking at, which they're making decisions on, is accurate. And we're in the process of taking it to that next level right now, where you can actually see that information, press a button and execute trades right from your CRM.
Right.
And it's going to be a beautiful thing once it's done. But boy, it's been a heavy lift.
Yeah. I feel your pain there. Yeah, I think the API economy has really matured in our space in the last probably call it 2 to 3 years. And I think before that, it was certainly serviceable. But it seems to me that technology has advanced such that integrating, you know, these other extensible technologies into a single source of truth is really possible. And, you know, 10 years ago, we talked a lot about best in class and how to implement best in class systems, but it really was very challenging. Not to say it's, you know, super easy today, but it's getting a lot easier. And so many more organizations can go about trying to find, you know, the best possible solutions and integrate them in a meaningful way. So you mentioned a couple minutes ago that you service the mass affluent client base primarily, and that's your focus. And I think that that's really important to know kind of who you're after, because it makes the rest of it pretty easy. Clients typically don't like hearing that they're being placed in a real cookie cutter portfolio. They tend to say that they want something specifically for them. You know, how do you help clients navigate through having 4, 5, 6 different accounts and while implementing their investment strategy and any sort of financial plan you might have put together for them?
Yeah. So we were actually just talking about this in a study group. And I'm a big fan of study groups with other advisors, especially when you're a smaller shop as we are, to be connected with other advisors. How are you doing things? How are you doing things is super important. We were talking about this exact topic. And the way it came up is, you know, would you rather have a household that has one $2 million account to manage, or would you rather have one household that has 10 $200,000 accounts to manage? And of course, everyone would rather have one account at $2 million. Right. It's a lot easier to manage that, but you can't. Why? Well, there's different types of accounts with different types of tax treatments. You have Roth IRAs and traditional IRAs and non-qualified accounts and trust accounts, which could have different tax implications and so on and so forth. So what we've adopted, and this kind of goes back to our trading system, and this is why it's such a heavy lift, because it's a fairly complex trading system that we use. But the end result is a hyper-customized portfolio for every client, but doable at scale. And here's how that works. For our clients, and we do this for about 90% of our clients, we could put every single account they have into one what's called portfolio group. And that's pretty standard nomenclature for this. So you could put, as I like to say, Bob's IRA, Mary's IRA, Bob's Roth, Mary's Roth, Bob and Mary's joint account, Mary's trust account, all into one portfolio group. So basically you're taking, let's say, 5 accounts and putting it into one, from an accounting perspective, account, known as a portfolio group. Now that you have all that money in that one portfolio group, you could then re-extract it. And I'm using my finger graph, which is not going to play well on the podcast, but just kind of imagine 5 accounts going to one and then being extracted into 5 different categories, let's say. And for us, we define our categories by time horizon, 0 to 1 years, 1 to 2, 3 to 5, 6 to 10, and 10 plus. So what does that mean? Well, we have 5 portfolios. Our 0 to 1 portfolio, as you might imagine, is our most conservative. A lot of money markets, short-term fixed income, so on and so forth. Our 10-year plus portfolio is our most aggressive, highest level of equity exposure and all this. And then our 1 to 2, 3 to 5, 6 to 10 are gradients in between. So here's how the process works. We first do a financial plan. So we tend to be a very financial planning forward shop. Cash flow-based financial planning is the planning methodology of choice for us. And whenever you do a cash flow-based financial plan, and those of you in the audience that use cash flow-based financial planning software, you know this, you will see ultimately a series of cash flows over the years between, you know, accumulation and drawdown in retirement. In retirement, and this is where this really shines, you could show how much money is coming into a household, how much money is leaving a household, and most mass affluent households will have a deficit, which is why they save for retirement. So that solves for how much money does this household need to withdraw 1 year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 15 years from now, all the way through. And then all we have to do once we do that cash flow analysis is send that to our traders. And we're working on doing that, being able to do that through our CRM right now. And our traders will say, okay, of this $2 million in these five different accounts, I need to put whatever, 100,000 in the 0-1 bucket. Let's say 300,000 into the 1-2 year bucket, 400,000 into the 3-5, and so on and so forth. And then the trading system is responsible for placing those trades in the most tax efficient way possible, right? So asset optimization, let's place the high yield bond fund and the REITs inside the tax deferred accounts. Let's put the SPY, very tax efficient ETF or IVV, whatever you use for your S&P exposure, into the taxable accounts and so on and so forth. So what that allows us to do is to deliver truly a very unique portfolio based on that client's unique cash flow needs, but be able to do that at scale because we're really using a building block system. So most of our clients will have one or more of our five base portfolios, but the percent exposure to each one of those will be driven by that client's unique cash flow needs, which would be different than everyone else's. And it's a really great system. And the last thing I would say on this, from a behavioral finance perspective, it's wonderful because we can show the client, let's say, and this works great in a down market, all right, the market's down and your $2 million portfolio is down. But if you really look at it, the 10-year plus subcomponent of your $2 million portfolio took it on the chin. But your 0-1 and your 1-2 are rock solid and you don't have to worry about those. And that's what's going to meet your cash flow needs for the next 3 years. That's going to give time, what we're doing is avoiding sequence of return risk, to let those longer term buckets recuperate. So it really is just a very systematized way of looking at the bucket system, something we clearly did not create. But what we've done, and we call it TAMI, which is Time Horizon Asset Management Integration, we've created a system that allows us to implement that for our advisors at scale and with ease and at a very low cost.
All right. So you mentioned at ease. You mentioned scale and you mentioned multiple portfolios and buckets of investments and people's financial plans. So I would say there's nothing particularly easy about this. My guess is that you've implemented technology to support this, but give me a sense for what the before and after was. What was it like before you had technology to support this? And how did that change and maybe help you think about what technology you need?
Boy, that is a great question and very insightful. So I've been implementing this personally, right, as a financial advisor for about 15 years. For the first 12 years, I was doing it with spreadsheets. So to rebalance one household, it would take me the better part of an hour, right? Ugly, painful, hardly repeatable in any scalable way. Mm-hmm. It worked, for Chuck running a $100 million book of business, it was fine. Four meetings a day, meet for an hour, rebalance for an hour. In all this. But what we've done is, and this kind of goes back to the early part where we had our tech stack, but we were very intentionally designing an infrastructure that could support 40 advisors. We said, we really need a trading system to do this. And we put one in and it completely did not work. It was just horrible. It was taking more time, causing a lot of errors. Then we had to switch to another trading system and now it works. So what we've done is we've centralized our trading. So we have a relatively expensive trading system and frankly, a relatively expensive trader that's pressing those buttons, okay? But they're doing it for the entire firm. And that's the definition of scale, right? So rather than having a lower cost person working through spreadsheets, we have a higher cost person running a very sophisticated trading system, right? Which if it was for just one person, the cost would be prohibitive. It would make no sense. But if we're at 17 advisors now, you take that, you divide that amongst the 17 advisors, it's almost like a cooperative structure. The cost comes down tremendously to be lower cost than any TAMP that's on the market today.
Super interesting. I think that the advisors and advisory firms always have great ideas for how to solve for client needs, but to be able to marry those up with technology and process is really challenging. But it seems like you've kind of made it there. So if I were a growing firm, and I were to come to you for advice and say, hey, probably not in these words, but help me future-proof my tech stack. Yeah. I think the first question I would probably ask you is, how do I decide between going best in class versus choosing something that may be all in one versus possibly even just engaging with another TAMP and using their kind of investments and technology solutions that are combined. So I think those are maybe the three different flavors out there. I can see. What kind of advice would you give somebody?
So the first question really is, how into this technology are you, mm-hmm. right? I'm really into it, right? So I'm mid-50s, right? I'm 55. So ever since I was 13, right? So that's going back to like the Apple II Plus days. I was really into computers, right? I was really dialed in on that, and I just enjoyed that kind of stuff. And I like technology, always have. So I like building this stuff, right? I enjoy it. So for us, we have, and I would take it one step further. I think the fourth choice would be a most in one, which is where we landed. So we have most of our technology from one vendor, and then we've picked and chosen from a few others. So the all-in-ones, pros and cons to everything, right? All-in-one, easiest to implement, easiest to integrate, because it's all there. Mm-hmm. And if that happens to work for you, right, if all those subcomponents, the planning component, the account management component, the trading component, the CRM component for this all-in-one solution checks all the boxes for you, by all means, you really should do that, because it's a lot easier, right? The best in class, which is more the route we've taken, and kind of a subset of that, I guess, is a most in one, because we were able to find one vendor where we can consolidate a few different of these needs, but still cherry pick some of the others outside. That requires a lot of integration. And I mentioned this a little bit earlier with the APIs. You know, we love our tech stack, and they generally play well together in the sandbox, but to take it one level further, and for us, it's including the trading aspect into the CRM. Those are the APIs that we've been, frankly, having some challenges with. I think we finally come across how we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. But for us, it's going to give us exactly what we want. But that comes at a time and money cost, right? So if you could find something off the shelf, by all means, you should. If you have a real clear vision on how you want to run things. So for us, TAMI, which is that time horizon asset management integration, is the cornerstone for how we trade. And it's a very specific trading methodology that requires portfolio grouping and a few other components that few trading systems have. So for us, we needed that, and we have to plug that in. When we're done with it, we're going to be super pleased, and it's going to work well for us. But if you're not doing that level of sophisticated trading necessarily, then you shouldn't do it, because it's right. It's a big lift, right? So that's a long-winded way of how I would answer that. But the first one is, how into it are you to build this thing? Because it's time intensive and requires a lot of dedication as opposed to getting something off the shelf.
Yeah, it's certainly. I think all those points are spot on. I think on top of that, though, you may layer on, you know, what do I really want out of my firm, and where do I want to spend my time, right? And, mm-hmm. and if I think that I'm going to really just be focused on, you know, client relationships and asset gathering, it's probably a little bit easier to go the all-in-one or bundled route. And it may be, you know, a TAMP route might even be better yet, right? Because that's what you're going to focus on. But to your point, if you're really into the technology and you think that that's going to add additional value, then you could kind of go to a hybrid all-in-one, or, you know, best in class all the way around. What other technology should advisors be thinking about to help scale their firms?
You know, something we're looking at right now, and we're about to pull the trigger on. So this is all being driven by, first, what are we trying to accomplish? Mm-hmm. So one of our big themes for this year and going forward is connecting with our KOCs, right? And a KOC, I'm not sure if this is a standard term, but we use it all the time. KOC for us is kid of client, right? So it is very important for us to connect with the KOCs, the kids of clients. So that's the objective, right? So that's the top line. Then the question becomes, fill in the blank. How do we do this? Well, we're going to do this by adopting two technologies. Number one, estate planning technology. That's one of the biggest topics. I was at the T3 conference recently, and that was one of the biggest themes, I think, there as far as what's new, which is offering estate planning. So in years past, if we had a young couple that, you know, just need their basic trust and wills and healthcare proxies, we would send it to a lawyer here in the Northeast, right? I'm in the New York City area. That's like $4,000, $5,000. And you know, when they go to that lawyer, all that's happening is their paralegal is pulling up a Word document, putting some new words in, right? Some new names and percentages for the most part. So technology has realized this. So there are some really good players out there now where you can send your client a link, and for $500, they have all of their basic wills, trusts, and healthcare proxy needs all taken care of. I think that's brilliant. Now we're going to take that and couple it with a DIY, do-it-yourself, guided DIY financial planning solution. What does that mean? So again, we're very big advocates of financial planning, and we want to introduce our KOCs to financial planning. But it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for us to spend many, many hours a month with a KOC that is maybe just starting off in life and, you know, has a $10,000 Roth IRA and so on and so forth, but they still need some basic planning. So we're actually working right now with a leading financial planning company to deliver a link to our KOCs that will give them a guided financial planning experience, right? Which is all the data entry, which is time intensive. And does that KOC need, you know, my 30-year experiences as a CFP to enter in how much money they make? They probably don't. And they probably don't want to, right? They probably want to get this link with their spouse on a Sunday night with a glass of wine and start filling it out, right? So that takes a lot of the time off my plate. Once it's filled out, then I can introduce myself and walk them through all the data inputs and give some suggestions. So those two things combined, I think, are going to be a great way for us to strengthen our relationships with the KOCs at a very low price point. And we can do it at a low price point because it's not taking a lot of our time. It's a guided DIY experience. Mm-hmm. And then as that KOC gets more wealth, and when that generational wealth transfers to that KOC, they already have the basis of understanding what a financial plan is and what the value is of us as financial planners. I think if you're not doing that, and we all hear about the great generational wealth transfer, what is it, $80 trillion are going to pass hands in the next 20 years. If you are not talking to those KOCs, that money is not going to stay with you, right? Something like 85% of KOCs, when they receive their inheritance, do not use mommy and daddy's financial planner because mommy and daddy's financial planner never reached out to them. And I think that's a big mistake. And you're doing a disservice to your first generation clients by not educating their kids. And you're doing a disservice to your firm by not making sure those assets stay with you.
Yeah. So I think two things that really struck me as I was listening to that, and you know, we hit on one of them earlier, which was garbage in, garbage out, right? If you don't have the data, you can't do the work. And part of gathering that data is developing insights as to what's going on, not only for the KOC, but for the overall family. And I think over time, you'll find out certain things are happening just from talking to the kids. But two, you're right. You're also developing a relationship, not only with the mom and dad, but you're deepening that relationship with mom and dad because you're engaging with their kids, and that's valuable to them. So they're going to become more sticky. And hopefully, to your point, the kids become sticky and generationally stick around with you and your firm and the legacy that Sovereign puts together. You know, as a company who has leading edge portfolio management, order management systems, and as a firm who has a pretty unique approach to portfolio management, the implementation of that, what advice do you have for firms who are evaluating and or selecting portfolio management and order management systems and some of the things that they should be thinking about?
I can give you a good answer for that based on my own bad experience. And this is something I should have done. And I really, frankly, I'm kind of embarrassed that I did not. But the best thing you could do is ask the vendor for two or three references for firms like yours in size and also goals. What are you trying to accomplish with this trading system? And talk to the users, right? Is this happening as easily as the salesperson is telling me it is? And I am sure if I had done that, they would be like, no, this thing is not ready yet. It's not even close. Right, so right. I think that's the best piece of advice I could give, you know, and we do a lot of this, you know, hashtag shameless plug at, you know, www.goria.com. We talk about this all the time and the importance of utilizing advisor networks to get clean information, unbiased information. I think that's critical.
Yeah, no, that's great. And in my world too, it's something that not everybody asks.
Right.
You know, but when they ask for it, it's great. It's like, yeah, sure. Not only can you talk to somebody who's doing, you know, something good, it also gives me an opportunity to say, look, here's the good experience and here are the things that they've had challenges with and not. And I think that it's also a good way for you to extend your personal network, right? Because you can meet more people and you can learn more about their practices and how are they doing well and oh, light bulb. You know, that's a great idea. I think that's something that you know, I want to look at for my own organization. So I think with that said, Chuck, I wanted to say thank you so much for joining me today. It's been very insightful, not only kind of hearing what you're doing, but also what Sovereign Financial is doing and you know, wishing you the best of luck there. You know, if you don't know Flyer FT, we power the fintech you love and use every day. I'm your host of In the Money, Rusty Summer. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to In the Money.
the show that delivers advisors, asset managers, broker dealers, and other technology service providers the knowledge they need to navigate this industry. Don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Flyer Financial Technologies. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only.